money move.
Do these guys have any idea what they're doing? Probably not. But that won't stop them from making picks. This is BZ Money.
So the news of the day is that the Astros and James Click have parted ways. But this is where we make you rich, okay? NFL weekend upon us. Wait, do we not make people rich?
We're down $190 on the year.
Jeremy's out. There's a chance we could do what we did last time Jeremy was out. That's just make straight cash, homie.
Okay, so what happened? We started off with $1,000?
Okay, so, Paul, this is the way it works. Each week we present two games each to bet on. Two of us need to agree in order for us to make the bet. We started with $1,000 of Mr. Gow's money.
Okay.
We're down $190, but back-to-back-to-back positive weeks. We're making it four in a row here. We're going to go a month straight here today.
So we were down bad.
Yeah, we were down bad.
I like how you're already part of the week. I like your mentality. Okay. That's a good thing.
Okay. Since this is a segment that I am coming into and I don't want to butcher, I'm going to let you guys go first so I can pretend to know what I'm doing.
All right, Joel, give us your first pick.
All right, for me, the first one that really caught my eye was the Dolphins. The Dolphins have been playing really, really good football. Tua's actually getting better each and every week, and especially after he endured the concussion. And I looked at a game in which, for one reason or another, I also know that it's great if we can actually root against the Browns because we want them to lose as much as possible so the draft pick goes up. The spread that I see, and Brendan, you tell me because I didn't see the actual final spreads we're dealing with, but it was between 4 and 4.5 the Browns were getting against the Dolphins.
Only 3.5.
If it's only 3.5, I see no reason why we don't take Miami and figure out that that is going to be a big W for the Dolphins.
I'm not the biggest believer in the Dolphins.
I'm not either.
But I do, man.
It's the Browns.
It's the Browns.
Jacoby Brissett.
It's in Miami.
Stop the run, you stop the Browns.
Brissett's been good.
All things
considered this year.
He's had his moments.
He's been, considering the expectations.
Has he been James Click good or has he been really good?
He has been James Click good.
Oh.
He's been adequate. Now, you can't hate on what Brissett's done this year. That's not the reason that they stink. The rest of the Browns team, I would say specifically the defense, have been a massive disappointment this year. They have lots of talent. I don't think the quarterback situation is the reason that the Browns are where they are at right now.
So here's what I got to say, Joel. I think I could have been convinced either way, but it sounds like Paul's leaning out.
I just don't trust. Sorry, I know that they're getting a lot of yards.
It's at Miami. It's normally a field
like
goal game.
Like that's a home field advantage.
But it's only normally a field goal game anyway.
Okay.
If it's a pick 'em, I'm taking the
it's
Dolphins.
It's not, though. You got to give 3.5.
I understand that. But
they lose a field goal game, Joel.
I understand. Okay, fine. Then if you guys are going to crap on it,
I'll
be like, Jeremy, I'm starring this one. I'm coming back to it if we don't play this.
Okay. I was 50-50 on it, but I think I'm going to lean out.
I can't do the Dolphins. I just can't.
Wow.
And also, speaking of their home field advantage,
Patrick Creighton available? For hour three?
Hey, one time, a Dolphins fan threatened to strangle me with my own intestines at Pro Player Field when I was 15
threat.
Years old. Yeah.
Maybe not to a 15-year-old, but it is a
good
one.
You with your own intestines?
Yeah, yeah. It was merited. It was merited. Patriots were 13-1. The Dolphins were 1-13. Guess who won that game?
The Dolphins.
The Dolphins won that game.
Oh, my.
Yeah, that was the game where Brady threw 4 interceptions, including one sitting on his ass. The Patriots lost home field advantage against the Pittsburgh Steelers because of that. But then they beat him in the playoffs, so it was okay.
All right. My first game, I'm going to take the Dallas Cowboys -4.5 at the Green Bay Packers. I got to see the Packers and the Lions last week. Let me tell you, Aaron Rodgers, bad quarterback right now.
Oh, he stinks.
He's bad. The rest of the team, not a big
But he's
believer.
Still the two-time defending MVP, as he said, after losing to the Lions despite two of the worst interceptions
you remember
you'll ever
that
see.
With your Lord and Savior and how much you love him.
No, I think Aaron Rodgers is bad. I think the Dallas Cowboys are one of two good football teams.
Rivalry
in the NFC.
Renewed, too.
I have the Cowboys. I have a Cowboys to win the Super Bowl ticket.
Ooh.
Mind you, my last three futures tickets all won the championship.
Okay.
So I think Cowboys are more than 4.5 point favorites.
I feel good about this, though. I do think that there's still the possibility that the Packers can wake up at any moment. I will turn this over to Joel Blank because I feel like you know the Packers better than anybody. How are you feeling about this decision?
The more people are crapping all over them, the more I like it because Rodgers is one of those guys that needs external motivation. And I believe that the Packers are going to cover the spread. I don't know that they're going to win the game outright, but I have a sneaking suspicion at home in an environment where the other external motivation no one's talking about is, no matter what he says publicly, Aaron Rodgers wants to take that fat coach of the other team and roll him down Lombardi.
I thought he wanted to hug him.
That is fair.
No. So if I had to lean one way or another, I'm not going to go heavy on this if we do, but I think that the Packers can cover the spread.
You do think the Packers can cover? Okay.
So you're out.
I am. Yes, I am with Joel on this one. Yes.
Yeah, I'm not taking the Cowboys.
All right, to your first game, Paul.
Okay. So keep in mind that we're still waiting for an update on the most important player in this game. This is probably the game of the week. Josh Allen, yes. So, the way things currently stand, the Buffalo Bills are 3.5-point favorites against the Minnesota Vikings, where we have had 3 days in a row with lots of bad-sounding, glum-sounding updates of nothing from Sean McDermott at the podium. I do not know how the Vikings have done this year, but they are looking pretty damn good at 7-1. They run the football pretty damn well, too. You saw that at the end of the Jets game, where the Jets don't even have a quarterback. They ran, without Breece Hall, right down the Buffalo Bills' throats. Same problem the Bills had last year. They can't stop the run. Look, if this turns into a, hey, we're turning it into Kirk Cousins game, I don't feel good. But I feel good about the Vikings being able to cover a 3.5-point spread against a possibly Josh Allen-less Buffalo Bills, especially considering how good Dalvin Cook is as a running back. So I am presenting the Minnesota Vikings as 3.5-point dogs against the Buffalo Bills.
I like the Vikings, too. Josh Allen not playing in this game seems to make all the sense in the world.
I can't believe the spread's 3.5 because of that.
See, to me,
that's what's fishy to me.
I looked at it the minute I heard he was questionable, going, this is where the Vikings are anointed to have their year, where everything just falls into place. They get the Packers in week one, who obviously since then haven't looked like they did a year ago after they crapped the bed in week one. But I could have guaranteed, which I did to you guys, they were going to crap the bed in week one. You're going to play the Bills, and the Bills aren't going to have Josh Allen. That's another win for you. You're going to fall into situations that even make your good team better. I think the Vikings win this game.
Okay, I'm not a Vikings fan. I think they're NFC good. I think it's fake. That being said, if we stay moderate on our amount, I like the play of we're getting value because we don't know about Josh Allen.
20?
I was going to say 25.
Okay, well, I went more moderate than you.
I think as part of a parlay, this is a great play.
All right, we're going to make it a $25
bet. $25
bet.
Okay.
All right, Joel, you're second.
All right, so my second game is one that I think everybody's very familiar with. Give me the final spread on the Texans and the Giants, Brendan, because this one to me seemed like the home run with the bases loaded, with a chance to win the go to the World Series and then win it.
Giants minus 4.5.
4.5. I just see the Giants steamrolling the Houston Texans. To me, this is a Giants, another team that seems to have everything fall into place and is having a Cinderella season. I think the Giants, you know, Brandon Cooks is just a big distraction right now that keeps getting to be a bigger distraction, even though the deadline's passed. I like the fact that the Giants are going to keep rolling, and this is a perfect opportunity to do it. What do the Texans not do well on defense?
Stop the run.
Who do the Giants have at running back? Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
That's all I need to say.
They're predictable on deep. I mean, Jesus, you can go down.
Stop Saquon. Good luck to you.
You can go a long, long way down a list and just highlight all the things that this team does horribly. Joel, I don't know if you knew that game on Sunday, Texans and the Titans. I had to walk up and take a lap around the stadium. I was so disgusted. I downloaded all the dating apps, which I had been off of for 5 months in the game. I legitimately wanted to run into the eighth floor window and blast myself out of it because it was the most miserable experience I've ever had watching a football game. And I don't know if I ever want to go to NRG Stadium again. I'm not even kidding.
Did you get lucky out of it? What did the dating app have to do with it?
I did not want to watch the game. I wanted to avert my eyes from that disgusting
game. You just wanted
to
swipe right?
Yeah. Anyway. So, yeah. It could be Georgia of college football. Yes, I'm in. Sorry.
So here's where I'm torn.
Tell me.
I want in on this bet.
Yeah?
I told you, Joel, before the show,
yep,
I think we need to go big on something. Because what I want the greatest scenario ever. I want Jeremy to come back and go, wait, what the hell happened? How did we get back over $1,000?
Okay.
I would like to go hard this week, but I don't think this is the game, and I think you do.
I threw it for consideration, but I won't say it has to be. Well, how much are you willing to go on this game since Paulie's already in?
50 is as high as I would go.
Do you feel good about 50, Paul?
I'd go 1,000 on this.
Let's go 50.
They suck.
Jeremy said that last week, and we dialed it back in.
Yeah, we snuck.
See, that game was 13.5-point spread against the Eagles. Are you talking about Eagles?
No, we're talking about the Titans game.
Oh, Titans game. Okay.
Oh, yeah, sorry, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, it was 2 weeks ago.
Gotcha, okay, yeah.
All right, so you're going to go 50 on the Giants?
Yeah.
Oh, let's go 50.
All right, let's go 50 on the Giants.
Okay.
You're up, Brendan.
My second game, Chargers 49ers. maybe. So I think Kyle Shanahan's the best coach in the NFL. Like, number one.
Mm.
Right here, right now, I would take Kyle Shanahan above any other coach in the NFL. That being said, the 49ers are 4-4, right?
But they just got Christian McCaffrey.
Christian McCaffrey's not even worth a full point. He's a running back.
Oh, my. Okay.
They're 7-point
favorites.
What
are you talking about? That's wrong. That's wrong.
It is not wrong.
I think it is, too.
Oh, my God. This is like the greatest thing that's ever happened to Jimmy Garoppolo. Check down Charlie. My God, he's got Christian McCaffrey to throw to.
He's got a full backfield to check down to.
Yeah.
I don't love where this is going. The 49ers at home are 7-point favorites to the Chargers. I want the Chargers.
Oh, no, no.
That can't be the big bet. Sorry.
I'm not touching the Chargers, ever.
Yeah, no. I like the other side of it.
The only person on the Chargers that I like is Dicker the kicker. That's it. I don't like anyone else on that team. Justin Herbert gets way too many flowers. Nope. Out. Choke artists.
Well, that was quick. All right, Paul, your last one.
Okay, I don't like
this. May have to be the big one too, so you better brace yourself.
I know his next one, and this is my favorite one on the.
Okay,
I don't like to pick against my Lord and Savior, Tom Brady. However, yikes! Right, it's been hard to watch them on offense. It's been hard to watch them on anything.
Final drive.
Yeah, but I mean, my God, like the Rams, they
decided
the worst
to not guard the sidelines.
The Rams offense is the only offense in the NFC that like has less punch, it seems like, than teams that were contenders last year, than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I really can't put my finger on what's going on with the Bucs. I don't think it's all on Tom Brady. The offensive line's been bad. Leonard Fournette like is getting benched. Mike Evans is dropping easy passes left and right. Meanwhile, the Seahawks are having just this incredible season that I cannot explain.
Me either.
They are 2.5-point dogs against the Buccaneers in Munich. Their defense is playing great. Their offense has gotten a hell of a lot out of Kenneth Walker III. Forget Geno Smith. This is also going to be a home game. I covered the Seattle Seahawks in Seattle. That fan base travels. They will be overrunning Munich. That will be a home game, and they are 2.5-point home dogs in Munich. Give me the Seahawks.
Wrong team favorite. I want to put a hundo on it.
A hundo on who?
On the Seahawks.
All right, this is the one where you guys both take credit for it, because I like the Buccaneers in this game.
Wow.
This is their chance to save their season. I still am not a Geno Smith believer.
I'm not either.
I think the Buccaneers defense is better. This is you guys doing this then. I'm out because I think the Bucs are going
to
win the game.
Paul, it's not your show. How much are you willing to let me put on this?
All of it.
All right, we're going 100.
Hell yeah. That. My friends.
I am speechless.
Was BZ money on the Killer Bees.
I am not saying another word for now, but oh boy, next week could be interesting.
Well, listen, Hurricane Paul came in, Hurricane Paul left, and
I followed the system, Brendan. Let it be shown. I didn't raise a stink. I didn't throw a shoe. I followed the system. I will go with what the vote was your
favorite.
Has
a shoe been thrown before?
I mean, it could have been.
Not on this show.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Okay. He is Joel Blake. I am Paul Gallaudet for Jeremy Brand and Brendan Riley behind the glass. That was BZ Money, everybody. Up next, James Click is out as Astros general manager. This interesting tidbit could have been a factor, a disagreement between two of the Astros' top generals. We'll talk about that next right here on the Killer Bee Gees. Paul Gallaudet and Joel Blank, ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, your voice triggered. Paul Gallaudet in for Jeremy Branham. Hurricane Paul is here. Joel Blank to my left. So I got a tweet, and I'm appreciative of Brendan Riley for playing this music on the way back, because the Jeremy Pena movement will not be stopped ever. Jeremy Pena and I are best friends. Even though Jeremy Pena is going on the Jimmy Fallon show with noted Yankee / Red Sox fan Jimmy Fallon,
right,
which is a thing instead of the Paul Gallaudet show, it's fine. Okay, we're willing to let bygones be bygones. But someone tweeted at me. His name is Mario. Not trying to be mean, but please stop saying the Pena name like that. Sincerely, all of the H. It's annoying and makes you seem like a tryhard. Truthfully, not trying to be mean. Well, I'm being mean. Bleep off, bro. Kiss my ass? Kiss any part of my body? I don't care. You can go die. But not really. Don't die.
Don't
I won't go
die.
Well, that's a little far. Let's dial that back.
Listen, I'm sorry. I'm angry. You can't tell me what to do.
You can do it on the show with your name on it so you can take full blame for it and the repercussions. Don't do it on the B. Yeah.
I co-sign everything but the go die.
But the go die.
Yeah,
okay.
The go die was a little bit much.
Well, listen, I'm like a little teapot. I'm Bill O'Brien, okay? Come on.
Don't ever compare yourself to him either. Don't ever slight yourself. You're a man that loves yourself a lot. Don't all of a sudden turn the corner and 180.
Well, again, it's sort of like it depends on the day. Like you flip the coin. Some days I love myself. Other days I hate myself.
No, I think most days you love yourself, which I think you should. But I don't think you should ever take that Bill O'Brien on the chin. Or the butt chin or whatever it looks
chin.
Like.
In the butt chin. Some days some days I love myself, Joel. And I'm pretending to love myself. Because most days on the inside, I hate myself.
Oh. Okay.
You're welcome for ruining the Killer Bees. Hey, it's the Killer Bee Gees, the Paul Gallant in for Jeremy Branham right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I'm not even getting eye contact from Brendan Riley right now, which means that I've gotten me in trouble. Hey, there was an interesting story that came from Brian Anderson in the Athletic Baseball Show. We have audio of
I'm
this.
A big fan. I know how you stand on Dan Shulman, but Brian Anderson might be one of the premier baseball announcer doing play-by-play in baseball.
And you're being serious?
Brian Anderson, the TV guy. Yeah, okay. That did the series with Ron Darling. I thought they were great on TNT.
Okay. Well, here is Brian Anderson talking about a back and forth that the Houston Astros had with one Dusty Baker.
The one thing he fought for more than any, he was adamant that Jeremy Peña hit second. Adamant. They did not want him hitting second in the front office. And they made that clear. Dusty made that clear. And while the front office won some of those, you know, measurements and let's do this, Dusty didn't relent on those two things specifically. And, I mean, Jeremy Peña, like, MVP ALCS, MVP World Series. So,
wow.
You know he got that from Dusty. Because of the fact that you know that when he would, like I said, he was covering the series for TNT. They meet with Dusty daily. They meet with him before every game. And you know how those sessions go where they shoot the crap, and a lot of it is, I don't know if you've ever been in a situation like this before, where it's off the record, where you just hear things you're not supposed to report on that you know. I think that Dusty probably let a few things out here and there in those conversations too. Probably they knew more. Kind of like when A-Rod and Big Poppy knew before the cheating scandal was going to be the cheating scandal and hinted that some stuff might be going on. I think Brian Anderson, there's something to this, because I think Brian Anderson had some intel from Dusty.
And you take a look at the numbers for the Astros when they put him into the two spot. I don't know if this is 100% right, but on the ESPN 97.5 Twitch, the Astros were 53-9 when Peña batted second. I mean, look, they had a good record all year long, so not that surprising. But holy crap, I mean, that's an insane winning percentage for a baseball season. And, man, doesn't it feel like the Astros had the shovels all ready to go for James Click now? Because, I mean, this came out this week, and okay, the email statement says that, hey, it's a parting of ways. But right away, Bob Nightingale is like, no, they fired him. Man, something like that's coming out from Dusty Baker. That means that Dusty Baker was a part of the death of James Click with the Houston Astros.
See, I think that this is where we get into the whole semantics. From Jim Crane's perspective, I did what I, you know, and he won't have to say what he normally does, but what we've heard is his reputation in business. When the contract expires, you let it expire, you move on, and then you don't have to say you fired anybody. I think from the perspective of guys covering Major League Baseball that see how it all went down and probably have talked to Click to say he basically gave him the screw job and fired him, whether you say he technically said we're not bringing you back or not. He offered him a one-year deal. When Click turned it down, you said take it or leave it. If he leaves it, then he didn't fire him. He walked.
Right. And you feel pretty good about that from an optics perspective, though everyone across baseball seems to be trying to paint the opposite picture, that it was the Astros who fired James Click, that there wasn't ever a desire, in fact, too, if you keep reading Bob Nightingale's tweets, to bring him back. 713-780-3776 is how you call, and it's how you text in as well. We have Peña, who's been waiting on hold. The Astros did fire James Click today, or parted ways with James Click today. Take your pick, whatever the case. He's gone. Peña, what's going on?
Be singing this time or just talking?
What's up, Peña's on the Killer Bees. What's going on? You're in the Hive.
No, I'm just talking, but real quick, shout out to all the vets. We love y'all.
Yes.
And keep on doing what y'all
hell
doing.
Hell yes.
And I don't even know where to start with this, guys, because that 1 year, maybe it's a World Series win that's making me feel a little bad for James Click, but also that 1 year is like, I'm glad he didn't take it from the Astros perspective and his, because what can he do with 1 year? Like, he can't have no backup. Like, oh yeah, if I do this, I have next year. Like, But anyways, what they need to do, what they need to do is they need to find a manager now, fast.
General manager.
Start building for next year because all the teams that are fighting for our spot, they're working right now.
They might already have that guy in mind now, Pena, too, and appreciate the phone call. I would think that they are going to strike relatively soon. They probably want to give a little bit of time.
To the texter that thought I was wrong because I compared his name to that of the former commissioner that is now RIP, passed away, David Stearns, the president of baseball. I was right. You were wrong. It is David Stearns, and I think that that's why it was a one-year deal. Jeremy had brought this up astutely the other day. The fact that we thought it was going to be Sig Meidel that was going to be first on his list, but when he basically threw a one-year deal at Click, it kind of was like, hey, without saying so, bridge the gap for me until Stearns is available, then I want that dude. So I think that he's going to be a guy that is going that Crane will have his eye on. If the Brewers want compensation, I don't know that he's willing to do that. Maybe he is. And if not, Sig Meidel will be up there at the top of the list because of the fact that they've been in the organization before. They know how he works. They also have Luno in their background, so they know how he worked.
Mm-hmm.
And he could work. Both those guys could work with a team like this.
Right. It's I think going to be really interesting. I do think it's down to those two guys probably. And I think that also the Astros probably don't want to give up any compensation to bring in whoever is next because they probably think to themselves, well, anyone can come in here. So I think that would mean that Sig from Baltimore would be the guy that they bring in. And we'll see, of course, how things go. I think that they do have to move relatively quickly, but let's be honest here. A guy like Jim Crane is not making a decision like this without having a backup plan.
He's a smart businessman. You're right. That's something that I didn't, you know, I would think you're right. It's just how quick can you get do it? If you have to give Milwaukee compensation, Milwaukee was not pleased because what happened was Stearns was initially their GM.
Mm-hmm.
They elevated him to president of baseball operations. Everybody to a man thought he did a really good job. And then all of a sudden, abruptly, after the season ended, he said, I would like to back away. And so I'd like either to take some time off or do something different. I don't want to do this anymore in this capacity. And everybody was like, well, maybe he's having personal problems, things at home, don't know. Now, maybe he already knew the writing on the wall that Crane already wanted him then.
He is Joel Blank. I am Paul Gallant. In for Jeremy Branham. It is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. James Click out as Astros general manager. Whether it's fired or parting of ways, he gone. You want to weigh in on it? You'll get to all show long. Coming up next, the show has debated if you should really pay Justin Verlander while being okay with doing it anyways. Who have been those guys that you would be okay overpaying, and where does Justin Verlander fall among them? We'll talk about that next right here. The Killer Bees, Killer Bee Gees, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Your team's our priority. Join the conversation with the Killer Bees. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
No, Jeremy Branham today. Paul Gallant.
Someone asked why you don't do that for Branham. You do. That's where it started.
That's where it started. Yes. Started out at late nights at the Texans flagship when Jeremy was doing sports.
The highway
flashes.
To hell, we like to.
Wait.
We like to non-affectionately talk about it as the highway to hell.
The highway to hell, okay.
Yeah,
the place that...
That's what we play when we talk about the highway to hell and their stable of talent.
I didn't realize that this didn't originate here because I thought it originated on our show because I remember you doing it for Jeremy Pena before you were technically in the lineup here.
Yeah. When you were BGing. Yeah. Before you were BGing like today.
But I love Pearl Jam. I love grunge music. Mm-hmm. And whenever I could do Jeremy,
I would. You love everything Seattle, including the Mariners.
I'm not sure how much I love the Mariners now. So I found out during series. During the series, when I was in a group chat with some of my Seattle friends that I have not been added back to, they were talking a lot of trash. Someone said bleep Houston, and I just patiently bided my time. And then I realized as the game wore on, I was like, I don't want these people to win when I'm not there. Excuse you. I don't want anything for them. I don't even want a playoff win for them right now, at least until the Astros take care of business. So when Jordan Alvarez hit that home run, quick on my phone, I turned around, took a video of myself. I think the video is still on Twitter. And I said, welcome to the real playoffs. And then I winked. And I got
15 bleep offs, Paul Gallant style, from that text line, and I just left the group chat. I just left it. I realized at that moment in time, if there's ever, you know, a wifey slash side piece situation.
There was ever like a split down the middle of a shirt that you wore during the playoffs. I'm aware of it. I'm referring to.
But the other thing
now is, maybe the other nipple ends up on the Astros side.
Here's the other thing too. Never wore that during the playoffs. Once the playoffs began, never wore it again. I would never ever wear that to Minute Maid Park. I would wear it to T-Mobile Park. There's a difference.
Paul, we've talked about it. I don't know if we've done it on our show or just in pre-show. But Joel and I are both the sports fan. Like, we're not going to dance on the graves of our friends' teams.
Oh, good, because I will. Right.
I think you might be the most insufferable person to be friends with if you're fans of, like, opposite.
Do you do it before the game, too?
No.
See, I never start it, but I hold receipts. So if you come at me real hard and talk real big before the game, and then we stomp your ass... Oh, I remember. Now, there's one I'm sitting on right now in particular I haven't brought out yet, but okay. I've been sitting on it.
Okay.
Okay, because to your point...
Does it involve me?
No.
Okay.
We all have our friends in our friend's circle, okay? Mm-hmm. And circles. And we have these text chats and other things, right? Well, as we know, and sometimes they figure out on the fly, we all do sports radio on a daily basis. We have a lot of opinions. Well, if you want to get in on something you hear on one of our shows, text the show, call the show, reach out to the show. Don't hit my personal cell phone, okay? So when you bring my personal cell phone into it and you're born and raised in Philadelphia and you believe that the comments that I made are going to make you want to have a war of words back and forth while you puff your chest out and drop your drawers to show what you've got on display for your Phillies and the fact that Verlander was going to crap the bed and that it was going to be over in five. And then after game one, I got the, see, I was right. JT for MVP, Phillies in five, yo. And I went, you know what? I didn't seek you out. You sought me. You didn't contact the show. You texted me. I'm going to tell you how much I don't give an F and tell you to stop texting me. And then let's see what happens. Remarkably, when JT didn't win the MVP, when the Phillies were far away from winning it in five, I didn't hear a congratulations. I didn't see another text. I didn't get a reach out and, hey, my bad, I was wrong. But boy, was the chest puffy when they got game one.
I like it.
I'm not going to call out those that, to protect the innocent. To protect the non-innocent, I won't say Paulie's name on the radio, but it wasn't Paulie G.
I know exactly who you're talking about. Here's the thing. Here's how I operate from the trash talk perspective, because you guys all think that I would be insufferable with my friends. No, it is only if they say something. Because here's the thing. Growing up a Patriots fan, you're an elitist, cocky bag. Like, I'll fully admit it, fully embraced it. But the thing is, I don't talk trash. There's no reason to. There's no point. It's more, if you step on my toes, I will then destroy you. Like, I will get out a baseball bat and beat you down like you just told me to go get my shine box. Because how dare you tell me to go get my shine box? There's a Buffalo Bills fan friend of mine who we had no idea when we were at college at Syracuse was a Buffalo Bills fan who was talking a lot of trash to me after the Patriots lost in the first round of the playoffs. And I was like, I didn't even know you were a Bills fan. So then the very next week when they lost to the Chiefs, I sent him personally a 5-minute video of me just talking trash to him. And, I mean, he reaped what he sowed, if you will. So that's how I work. And
I've always been that guy. Yeah. I've always been the guy that won't talk it, but after the fact... I won't even gloat in it, but I will save your receipts, and then I'll see how you handle it. And then if you handle it appropriately, then there's nothing to say. But if you kind of do the try to peacefully walk away or forget still cocky about it, now you're gonna catch the wrath.
There's one exception. Joel, for me, that will never, ever cease to be the exception. Titans fans, I will come after you whenever.
Oh, you do love that.
Because they are imagine getting death threats for breaking the news that Jake Locker was getting benched for Zach Mettenberger, first off. Second off, imagine me being right about Marcus Mariota before all of you morons from Tennessee who don't understand football were. Also, imagine, again, me like saying like it's kind of BS that you took the Oilers' history because it belongs to Houston, and that you act like it's yours and start flaunting it in our faces. Like, the people that are Titans fans here in Houston, I don't get what's wrong with you. Like, your girlfriend left you. They're not coming back. Like, they're leaving you on red when you send them texts. They're never responding. So, anyway, we went down a rabbit hole here. I like this conversation, though. And how do you feel about fans of other teams who talk trash to you?
I got one this weekend. First? I got this one this weekend. The Cowboys-Packers. I got a ton of Crystal Collins, Total Dallas, Dr. Dre. They're all Cowboys fans. I'm glad that I have the philosophy that I have, because before the season started, when they were talking mess, I was like, maybe we'll work something out, maybe we won't. I don't really like betting on my team, and we'll see. And now the way it's played out, I'm like, y'all should kick our asses. But if you don't, for all that you've been talking, you got to be careful now. But Crystal's been good about it. Dre's handled it well. Tota Dallas is a different story. We'll see how it plays out. But thankfully, I didn't bet on anything preseason before I knew 12 was going to be bitchy diva from hell.
I genuinely root for my friends' teams.
Well, he said that. That is kind of weird. Hang on, though. So what friends, what are your friends rooting for?
Doesn't matter.
No offense, you're a Detroit fan, so like,
Of course I'm going to root for my team.
So their team is your team.
It feels like, yeah, it feels like you're stealing fan valor.
No. I don't root for it's not like that. Like, it's not like me.
It's not like your Matt Stafford, Bones Gray jersey?
No, that was legit. That was me actually rooting. No, but like, an example would be Greg, who works here as a Phillies fan. I was rooting for the Phillies all the way through the NL. Obviously, I wasn't rooting for them in the World Series. But if it doesn't impact...
I wasn't, because I knew how insufferable they'd be. I didn't want to deal with my... Like, half my family's from Philadelphia. I knew as soon as they won that these people who did not pay attention to the Phillies all year long would start saying, oh, the Phillies are really good. And I'm like, no, they're not. They lost 13-20 to end the regular season. They barely made it into the playoffs. The Mets just choked it harder than them.
My thing is, if it doesn't affect my team and the teams that I actually care about, I hope my friends' teams do well.
Nah.
I genuinely don't think... you'd have to probably go back to middle school to the last time that I was trash-talking about my team versus somebody else's team.
Okay. I will say, as far as my friends rooting for a team that I didn't root for before, my two best friends are UT fans, so I generally lean UT on just about everything unless they're being insufferable. And, like, I know I'm not officially a UT fan, but I'm, like, an honorary UT fan, and they, you know, when I go to games, they are 3-0 at covering the spread when I go to games.
I think for me that's part of what makes it easier to embrace Houston's teams, right? Because people around me are invested in them, so I'm invested in them.
Okay, yeah, I mean that's generally how it works, too. I mean, I'm an out-of-town transplant, and that's... Over time, that's become my way, especially now that James Harden is gone. Now I can fully like get behind every single team.
I wish I could say that.
I don't blame you. I still have remnants. I don't blame you.
Kind of like you said about your last experience that you still remember. I do too. But no, you know, for the most part, yeah, because I feel like I'm a Houstonian now, and I love the Houston.
Well, that's how it works here. You heard Dusty Baker this offseason, this postseason run. He said, like, yeah, people come to Houston. They start rooting for this team.
I love the fact that he said
this
town
is
like.
That's what Houston is.
He said the support that you get in this town is crazy like no other, the way they love you. I love that he made that statement. And Jeremy's like, well, what else is he going to say? I'm like, but still, he didn't have to go to that level. To go to that level to show his support for this city.
Yeah, loved it.
That's why everybody jumped on the Dusty bandwagon and loves that he won his World Series.
He is Joel Blank. I am Paul Golan in for Jeremy Branham. That was a fun conversation.
It
that
was.
Came out of nowhere. Brendan Riley is behind the glass. We will perhaps get back to that conversation about...
We create radio, Paul. We can do this.
This is true. We can go all over the place. This is my favorite part about doing radio, is just to go down mindless rabbit holes and not even know when we're going to come back out of it. But at some point, we will talk about athletes in Houston that you are willing to pay no matter what. Up next, they are trying to pull me in to something that I'm not sure I want to be a
Mariner
part of.
Mariner fans?
No, I'm talking about Joel Blank to my left.
Titan fans?
Brendan Riley.
Oh, us versus you.
I think if Jeremy Branham was here, you guys would all be tying me down right now and trying to waterboard me into going along with you on this. I don't know if I can still. You'll find out what it is next. Don't go anywhere.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713.
Titan fan that texted in. Tighten up from Titan Hugo.
Yeah, tighten
Long-time
up.
Long-time listener,
What does that mean, tighten up? Does that mean losing in the first round of the playoffs when you have the one seed three times, coming up short in the Super Bowl by 1 yard? Does that mean busting on all the quarterbacks that you've drafted over your history? Vince Young, Marcus Mariota. Do you want me to go further? Jake Locker. How much further can I go? Give the history back.
I just think, yeah, I mean, the fact that they feel good about themselves walking into a stadium where they see numbers hanging of guys that never played in that stadium.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel bad for those guys, too, that like, hey, we're going to wheel you out or bring you out at center field of Nissan Stadium in Nashville. And it's fun to go to Nashville if you're my age, but if you are up there in age, and all of a sudden you're like, hey, here's a random Houston Oiler. No one has any idea who you are because that is one of the more NFL stupid cities in the country. They don't know anything about it. They don't know, honestly, much about football since 1998. They have been in the Stone Ages. Tennessee football being brought back to reality last weekend was pants tent city for me. Welcome back to being a nothing state.
Pastor,
for football.
Pastor Ernie looks like if you saw him walking down the street, you'd go, I saw you perform at the Grand Ole Opry when you were like 33.
Yes. You know,
you look different now, but I know I seen you.
They might remember him for his who was he married to for the longest time, dating for the longest time?
Dan Pastorini and I believe
the famous supermodel
Farrah Fawcett.
Farrah Fawcett, yes, that's it. Because my dad was a big Dan Pastorini fan back in the day because he's like, oh, this guy's
If you read the book.
I have, yes.
Yeah, I read it too.
Yes.
Because I think we know someone that might have written it.
Our buddy.
Dan Pastorini back in the day was like a mini version of Joe Namath where he was the man and he was the ladies' man. And, you know, he lived the life of the star quarterback.
He had himself a great old time. That is for damn sure. Yep. All right, guys. I don't know if this is going to be a great time for me. You guys are...
what's this about?
Proponents... of a saying called embrace the suck.
Yeah.
When it comes to the
Houston
Texans. Not on
your weekends. We're talking about during the Texan season. Jeez, let me be clear before you go too far down that rabbit
hole. I wasn't going to take it down that rabbit
hole,
okay?
I don't know where you're taking it down. I'm just telling you it's about the Texans.
I only tell people to go die on the air, okay? That's what I do. I don't go down those sexual lines, those blurred lines, okay? We are a family program, except for the time that I told the guy to go die for telling me to not say Jeremy Brainier anymore, but then apologize afterwards. Noted.
Okay.
Anyways, I was watching the game, the last night's game, which was probably mostly unwatchable.
Thursday Night Football.
But if you're part of this show.
Panthers and Falcons.
You had to feel pretty good about the result, right? A Panthers win? I was just wondering if Paul could meet us halfway and celebrate the wins of bad football teams.
Well, okay. I mean, were you guys as a show collectively celebrating the Detroit Lions beating the Green Bay Packers on Sunday?
I was.
Joel Blank, who is making faces right now.
So, I've accepted my inevitable NFL season death. And I actually, right after the game, congratulated Brendan because of the fact that I had never seen worst football in my life, and especially with all the good football I've seen over the last 20 to 30 years of Packers football. It was so embarrassing, and it was all on Aaron Rodgers' shoulders when he was blaming everybody else, which was more embarrassing, that I was like, yeah, we're done. That's it. It's over, and let's get high draft picks. And so I was embracing the suck, and I do embrace it. So you know what? It's crazy, but I love the fact that we have a block. We can block whoever we want, whenever we want, because I know that Hector on text message is trying desperately to text the show to take Packer shots at me. You can't take more than I've taken at myself. OG Rockets, he continues to think that gets under my skin.
You've accepted it.
I wipe my shoulders. I just brush my shoulders off, and I don't even need Head and Shoulders because of the fact that I've already accepted they're horrible. The general manager screwed up. 12 isn't good anymore, and that's the way it goes.
Okay. So Packers embracing the suck, and the Houston Texans embracing the suck. So
like a Hoover vacuum suck for the Texans. Just letting you know.
Look, they're really bad.
Like a shop vac.
Is it even that?
Than that. What's a bigger suction than that? We could go porn star, but then we might cross the
void.
Lines.
The void of space, a cracked window in a space shuttle.
Okay.
There's a lot of suck going on there.
All the Mills Mafia just got beat and were buried in the end zone at Giant Stadium like...
They should have been buried going into the year, to be perfectly honest, but whatever, I told you. And
what was the Mafia guy that they think is buried in Giant Stadium in the end zone?
Which one?
The biggest one.
Oh.
The big fish.
John Gotti,
right? They think that Gotti...
John Wayne Gotti.
They think Gotti... I believe there's the rumor mill says Gotti is buried under the field in the end zone at Giant Stadium.
Oh. I didn't know that. That's interesting.
That's the Mills Mafia bury. The Mills Mafia is over. The Over the Mills gang... is like on the hill planting the flag, and everybody has to admit it now. He's terrible.
So here's to go back to that strategy. I understand the big picture, looking at things and saying, hey, you want to have the best possible draft picks that you can get because that means that you will have a better opportunity to get whoever you want in the draft, whether that be a franchise quarterback, of which the Texans have only taken – really rolled the dice on two in their history, David Carr and then Deshaun Watson. But – you don't always hit those picks. And I don't like the idea of using players as cannon fodder so that you can have better dice rolls, lottery tickets, essentially, to potentially find that next great quarterback, next great cornerstone defensive lineman, offensive lineman. I have a moral objection with sucking on purpose, putting players in, like what the Colts are doing right
now.
You're
a Celtics fan. They tried to do it to get Tim Duncan. They've done it numerous times.
But it's different in basketball than football. You know.
Oh, stop.
It is different. It's different.
But here's the thing.
Basketball's not the high-risk injury kind of sport that football is.
Not for a quarterback. It's not different.
No, but the quarterback is so much more important in terms of what it means. And when you have three or four that are going to be available and you know you want the pick of all those guys to get the best possible one because you know that is the biggest gaping hole that you have on your team.
Well, okay, but like Trevor Lawrence. I mean, that guy's the first
overall
pick.
You'd rather take a shot at him panning out and getting him than getting the guys that came after him.
I guess. I wasn't the biggest Trevor Lawrence guy in college. I felt kind of crazy feeling that way, but I was like, there's something missing there. Maybe that's just a me thing, and maybe it's my bias against quarterbacks that play at programs that don't generally get challenged. Ohio State quarterbacks, I kind of have a bias against as well. I will say Justin Fields has looked pretty good the last couple of weeks, but that's neither here nor there.
I'm a fan of his. But here's the thing, Paulie. You have to at least understand who you are. And then in order to where you know who you are and you know where you want to get to. And in order to get there, you can get there quicker by having the number one pick in every round where you are picking guys that you need as opposed to two or three or four because you don't embrace with as big of a bear hug as you should. So, I mean, I get everybody has a different philosophy on embrace the suck. But to me, it was just the quickest way to get there and have sustainability and sustained success is to have the most talented roster. So yes, to build the most talented roster, whether it's quarterback-oriented in this year or not, is to have the best picks in each round of the draft.
I think that is fair. And look, it's not just a one-round thing.
And shout out to my man Dan, by the way, Dan Thielen and Galston Lifting. It was not Gotti. It was
Jimmy Hoffa. That was the name I was trying to think of.
Jimmy Hoffa.
Because I watched The Irishman.
They think he's buried in the end zone.
Okay, great movie. Al Pacino plays Jimmy Hoffa in that movie, if I'm not mistaken. The issue is a morality one for me because I don't like putting players out as cannon fodder, and I also don't like, hey, if you're trying to build something, and I know this organization has talked about the word culture to the point where I don't want to hear the C word anymore. Like, I'd rather hear the other C word than that C word, if that makes sense. You know what I'm talking about. I would rather hear that word on a regular basis than ever hear the word culture being
brought
up.
We're the only market that has a C word that isn't what you think it is and a D word, discomfort, which a lot of people in other cities, don't think it is.
Yeah, okay. That word I would rather hear than to hear culture again. Okay, that's all I'm saying. I got so annoyed by it with Easterby, with Casario, them bringing it up all the time. I can understand why, even if Brandon Cooks is acting like a baby, I can understand why he gets
annoyed.
That is annoyed.
The B word, by the way. That would be the B word.
Oh. Okay.
If you wanted to use that one. Cooks. We all know what that B word is. The C and the D, if you're in Houston, has a different meaning.
Fair enough. You know what? Fair enough. Okay. Here's what I'm trying to say here. As much as it makes sense to get the best draft pick possible.
Say it. Embrace the suck. As much as it makes sense to embrace the
you
suck.
You don't want to ferment loser juice. Like the Sixers over all those
years.
You
don't have to for longer years because it's not. You don't have to trust the process. It can happen quicker. If you don't do it, you could be the Lions. You could be doing it forever with high picks, getting the picks wrong, and still sucking.
You could do it that way. I think, though, if you are going out of your way and you're not trying to win, you make it acceptable to other players on the team that it's not a place where you can win. You make it harder to sign free agents. And I just look at where the Sixers are right now. Does anyone like actually have faith that the Philadelphia 76ers are ever going to win a title with Joel Embiid or formerly with Ben Simmons or with James Harden? And that's before all of it, because I felt like it took until like really the last 2 years for Joel Embiid to get to the point where there was actual accountability that he was putting on his shoulders. I felt like they were excused for all of the losing that they did, and I felt like it turned all of the players in that area into guys who just
it wasn't
didn't
the
have
plan's fault. They got it right with Embiid. They swung and missed on Ben Simmons. If they had taken a player other than Ben Simmons, then trusting the process might have worked out. So you do still have to pick the right player. To your point, to an extent, your player evaluations have to be such that you can't swing and miss,
no
right?
Doubt.
But to your analogy about basketball, the fact that it doesn't work in basketball anymore is because there's a lottery. If you embrace the suck, there's no guarantee you get the number one overall pick.
True.
In the NFL, if you embrace the suck, you're getting the number one overall pick. And therefore, you dictate your own future. And now all you got to do is make sure you evaluate the talent. In the NBA, as Brendan and I both know, you can be the Rockets and the Pistons. You can both embrace the suck, but you might not get the number one pick no matter what.
Okay. That makes sense. So here's what I'm going to do. Okay. Have you guys seen The Town?
I don't watch series like you.
It's a movie.
Okay, no. Oh, okay. Wait, yes, I have.
It's a movie.
Yes,
okay.
I have. Yes,
so there's a scene where all the bank robbers, they got automatic rifles.
This is Mark Wahlberg, right?
Ben Affleck.
Or Ben Affleck. Okay.
The Ben Affleck movie. So they're all in a van. They got none masks on.
Yep, I've seen
they got guns. They drive to this part of town. And they're stopped in an intersection. There's a cop. He looks at them. He looks at them for like 3 seconds. They're all staring each other down. They're wondering if the cop's going to pull out his gun and open fire. The cop's supposed to do his job there, right? The cop's supposed to stand in. He's supposed to stop the bank robbers who just, you know, performed an armed robbery. This cop looked the other way. So this isn't really going in line with you guys on record, but
so you're gonna play I believe the group before your time was Chicago and the song was look away.
I'm just gonna look the other way. Mm. I mean, what am I supposed to do now? I mean, you know, this team blows. They suck. Like I hate watching them, and I mean, the best players on the team are either passive aggressively tweeting about wanting to leave town, like Brandon Cooks or Laremy Tunsil, and
Paul, you're not the only one. It took Renato a few weeks. He came over to the dark side. He embraced it.
It's his.
You can do it.
It morally bothers me that there are going to be like 50 guys on that team that are essentially cannon fodder for this year, so that Nick Caserio can have a better draft pick than he might not actually hit.
Because you've already had a good draft with a lot of good draft picks that are foundational pieces.
We're talking like 40.
You do it again, and look at how close you are.
Yeah, I know. I know. Again, I'm just looking the other way. Okay, I will not tell you guys anymore that I hate embracing the suck. I do, but I'm just gonna look the other way now. Because I mean, what's the point?
Look it up, Brendan. Chicago, and the song is "Look Away." It's perfect for Paul right now with that comment right there. Because if that's your way of embracing the suck, just not admitting it, then you and Granato are on the same page.
Okay. Every man has to have a code. He has to have some honor, and I feel a lot of my honor just slipped away.
Now?
Yeah, it's the one thing, man. It's a football thing. I have a hard time buying into the idea that you are going out of your way to not win. And what the Colts are doing right now, like that is.
I don't think they're going out of their way that far.
Mm.
They got guys trying their best and still suck.
That's true.
Okay, I'm just letting you know.
That front seven, good God. I mean, I'm at the point now, and sorry, I know we have to go to the break. I'm at the point now with like the quarterbacks at the top of this year's coming draft where I'm like, damn, I mean, do you even want to go quarterback? Because, I mean, you're so far away. Maybe you go to two defensive linemen in the top five picks that you have, hopefully, assuming Cleveland, you know, stops playing well. He is Joel Blank. I am Paul Gallant in for Jeremy Branham. It is the Killer Bees, the Killer Bee Gees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Still on the table, James Click out as Astros general manager. Don't go anywhere, 713-780-3776 to join the conversation. We got an hour left on a Friday. Got to get down on Friday.